Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com with Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp. They're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's list and your boy for May 17th, 2023. We have a lot to talk about, and we have a pretty well-equipped panel right here. Myself.
And that's it.
And Jimmy Van is also here. He's pretty good at this stuff that involves money and broadcast deals and the like. We encourage you to leave a thumbs up on this video. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. That's the best way to get your question or statement read on the air. We'll brag about FightfulSelect.com in a bit. It's our exclusive news service. I've mentioned this on some other shows as well. You're going to be seeing some new advertisers here on Fightful. If you're interested, hit up myself or Kate. But we got Jimmy Van here today. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm okay, Sean. I told you off the air, I got my ass kicked by my six-year-old. He ran at me full speed ahead, did a high cross body off the bed, accidentally slammed his knee right into the right side of my ribs. And so yeah. I either have bruised ribs or cracked ribs, one or the other. It feels terrible. But I'm here, Sean. I'm here. I don't take a day off. And from the podcast, maybe occasionally from day to day life. I don't.
Podcast. You're old, maybe. You're tired. You live with children. And I guess that carries us to
hard to breathe sometimes today.
The big news of today, a reminder, guys, subscribe. It helps us out a lot. Marching towards 100,000. We got a great interview this week. Will Ospreay. How about that one? Ahead of a New Japan resurgence here on the channel. We had Vinny Pacifico yesterday. If you guys, I want to go give you guys a quick plug for this. In the Weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Fightful Overbooked. It's becoming one of my favorite podcasts out there. It's a morning show. You guys are going to love that. A lot of different guests as well. But if just, you know what, maybe you watch the show on demand and you're like, I still want to get my question in, FightfulSelect.com. I do a Q&A show there every week. Jimmy will be doing one next month as I head towards London. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about here, Jimmy. We got RH saying, welcome to the hump. Here we are.
Yep. So a lot of interesting stuff today. So we got to start with the AEW business, and we'll start with what we know before we start about speculation. Although what they announced today, we kind of already did know. So today, May 17, Warner Brothers Discovery held their upfront presentation in New York. Right off the shoot, I want to get your thoughts on something. So early into that presentation, they put a graphic up on the screen representing their major networks, you know, so they had TNT yeah. and TBS and Food Network. And for every network, they put up an image of a celebrity that is kind of attached to that network. For TBS, they picked Jade Cargill. And I thought that was very, no, but I thought it was very interesting because we put her over all the time, right? You and I put her over all the time, but this was coming from Warner Brothers Discovery. So this tells you how they feel about her. And so I thought that was very interesting. First question out of the hop, what was your thought on them selecting Jade Cargill as almost their AEW representation on that image?
Well, they also featured Jeff Jarrett at one point. So
I saw that. Yeah, but they're not in the same category. You know what I mean? But I saw that. Yeah. I thought that was interesting that they chose
her. I mean, naturally they would. Naturally they would. Because, I mean, she is such a star. She looks like a star, carries herself like a star, is a star.
Yes.
I think it's natural for them to go with her.
Okay, now something else interesting. And this could be foreshadowing. And I want your thoughts. So under TNT on that graphic, they did not show an NBA player. They showed an NHL hockey player. Ironically enough, they showed Connor McDavid from the Edmonton Oilers, which I could chuckle and laugh at because the NHL scheduled all their playoff games for 10 o'clock Eastern time this year. But the fact they showed an NHL player instead of an NBA player, do you think that could be foreshadowing about rights? Because that'd be good news for AEW. They wouldn't be preempted by the NBA.
It'd be great news for AEW and not so great news for TNT because Shaq, Ernie, and Charles Barkley are big time on TNT. Like it is a staple of that network. I watch games just because they're on TNT because of them. And I mean, also they've broken through on social media to where their clips go viral, completely separate of basketball realms as well.
Right.
Shotgun Spurs says, whenever Jade isn't on television, everybody should be asking, where's Jade Cargill? Well, I get the feeling that will be rectified moving forward. I think that with the announcement of Collision, that is going to adjust a lot of things for a lot of people.
Yep, so let's get into that. So they made official what we kind of already knew. AEW Collision is going to debut on TNT on Saturday, June 17, 8 o'clock Eastern time in a two-hour block. Now, there was one thing very interesting about that announcement, and they issued a press release at the same time. So you had reported that there might be a brand split, and I'll get your thoughts on that in a minute, or a roster split.
Not might. There's a brand
split. Yeah, okay.
Talent, we're told. Listen, I know PW Insider is saying that there isn't one. Talent, we're told today, they were sent an email saying, don't worry, this will be addressed soon. I know there was something internally that said, starting June 17th, they will be assigned particular brands. And I was told explicitly that this exemption, as reported on FightfulSelect.com, does not include champions, not just in AEW, but from around the world as well. So if somebody comes in from New Japan or the like, there are exceptions. There are also other exceptions as well.
Right. Now, the graphic that they included with the press release, I found it all very interesting. So they used the term feature headliners in the press release. They announced who the feature headliners are going to be. They included Miro, Samoa Joe, Thunder Rosa, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Andrade. I found it very interesting. Rosa and Andrade, you know, they've had some issues with talent. They're both going to be on Collision. Warner Brothers Discovery, they issued their own press release about programming announcements. On their original press release that Warner Brothers Discovery issued, CM Punk was listed as one of the feature headliners under Collision. They then edited it, and when they the one that went that was mass distributed didn't mention any names whatsoever. That would seem to indicate that Punk would be part of Collision as expected. You had reported that Punk was interested in a program with Samoa Joe, and wouldn't you know, Sean, Samoa Joe is one of the feature headliners too.
FightfulSelect.com is a really good use of your $5, guys. I know some of you don't want to pay for pro wrestling news, but you get like 40 podcasts over there a month as well, like 8 or 9 a week. But a lot of this plays into what we had said. We had said last week on FightfulSelect.com, we're going to pat ourselves on the back here, that not just the talent that you saw, but more returning talent would be featured on Collision. And Jimmy, completely separate of Andrade, who again, Fightful Select had reported CM Punk wanted on Collision. We saw Scorpio Sky on a graphic as well. So Scorpio Sky, who hasn't been around in almost a year, is now featured on Collision. I was told that in talks with some of these talent, that was sort of put forth like, well, we wanted a fresh roster approach from that line of thinking. Thunder Rosa popped up. I don't know if she's good to go or not. Like, I have no idea, but featuring her on the show is a name to be featured, of course. But you got Miro coming back. You got Andrade. You got Scorpio Sky. You got Thunder Rosa. But CM Punk, I think it's strategic, him not being involved. Unless something catastrophic has happened in like the last day, which again, all due respect to CM Punk, it's CM Punk. It's always possible. But yeah.
I figure they want to keep it for a surprise again. That's what I figure.
Sure.
And just have him show up on the first night. But that's interesting. And then something that you mentioned, which I assumed. So the graphic that they showed for Collision, it happened to include all the current champions. So MJF was on it. Orange Cassidy was on it. House of Black was on it. FTR was on it. And so I assume that the champions are going to be on both shows based on them being on the graphic. And you just kind of suggested that's going to happen. So the champions will be on both shows.
Yes. To the best of my knowledge, or at least they will be exempt from that sort of hard split, from what I understand. Matthew Garrett says, give Jimmy his own show. I'm sure Jimmy would just love to have his own show. You know what?
Love it.
You know what? I am overruling this. Jimmy, you cannot have your own show, and there's nothing you can do about it.
There goes that opportunity. That sucks.
I'm just taking it away from everybody.
That really sucks. I want a couple of other notes. So Tony Khan is scheduled to have yet another announcement on Dynamite this week. Is it just about Collision?
I don't know if it's just about Collision.
Okay.
But, so I mean, it's related to Collision.
Okay.
I hope it's a draft, baby. I hope it's a draft. I got draft fever, Jimmy.
Oh, do you? Draft fever?
Yeah. After the trash fire that was our last mock draft, I would love to do another one, honestly.
And another thing about Collision I want to mention. So I saw people. So it's amazing, like we've talked about before, no matter how well AEW does, there are haters that just want them to die a slow and painful death. And that's just kind of how it is. I saw people on social media that were shitting all over this Collision news saying, oh, Saturday night is a shitty time slot and they're going to do
crap. Then don't watch it.
No. Okay. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. So last Saturday on cable, and I know that this doesn't necessarily reflect the average week, but last Saturday on cable, the number one show was an NHL playoff game on ESPN, which actually did pretty well. It did a 0.67 rating in the key demo, which is strong. But after that, Saturday was wide open last week. The number two show was a SportsCenter block at 10 a.m. that did 0.26 in the key demo. Dynamite last Wednesday did a 0.32. So Dynamite last Wednesday did a stronger key demo rating. I think there's no reason not to believe that Collision is going to be top three or top five every Saturday. And I think that if there's not live sports going on that night, they might be number one a lot. And so for people suggesting it's a shitty time slot and they're going to die a slow, painful death, I bet you they're top one to top three on a weekly basis on Saturday.
And that's what a lot of people have to look at, is that TNT, Warner Brothers, whatever they look at and they see out of AEW, they're thinking, well, it can probably beat all these shows. It's probably not going to beat college football. It's probably going to be pushed way down due to college football. But in general, and I'm very interested to see what happens with Saturday pay-per-views in general. First off, I don't want them doing Sundays full time. I would really hate that during football season, but they're going to go head to head with some WWE shows, a lot of WWE shows. So, And it's hard for me to believe that WWE is going to adjust anything for that. But we got a lot of super chats right now. Spencer says, do you think we see CM Punk wrestle in WWE again? No, I don't. Trey sent us a very generous humper chat and said, hey, Sean, is Collision going to be live? I feel like if they tape it earlier in the week and play it on Saturday, it'll kill the show before it starts with spoilers. I truly hope TK treats this like a SmackDown and gets help with booking. Much love to you. Well, thank you, Trey. Thank you for the very generous humper chat. You're always very generous with those. Talent that I've spoken to have been told, keep your Saturdays open. Certain talent have been. And there are some of them that are like, it's going to eat. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get into my indie stuff, but there are some instances that I believe that Tony Khan will probably get deals on back-to-back nights in a venue, and then he'll probably film it on a Thursday. Like, I don't expect them ahead of All Out to do a live show from the UK the night before. I think it might be a good idea, honestly, but I think that sometimes when necessary, they'll tape it. But primarily, this show is going to be live. So that's going to add a lot of value there.
I mean, the graphic said live. The graphic that they released said live.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, they're planning on doing Dynamite and then taping Rampage that night, doing Collision live and taping Ring of Honor that night. That's what I've read.
Yep, Rampage on Wednesdays, ROH on Saturdays, which again, I look at and I'm like, oh man, that is going to hurt the indie bookings of a lot of the people that work ROH. It was very beneficial for a lot of talent to work Dark, Rampage, all that stuff because, or especially AEW on Wednesdays because they could still do their weekend indies. Bizarro says, hey guys, thoughts on Rosa doing commentary for Collision? With any news on why AEW picked the Garden for Boston, it's the week after the debut of Nick Wayne versus Swerve, not for a title run, but I want Danhausen to try to make MJF his friend. I would love to see Danhausen and MJF interact. I don't think that Boston has anything to do with Nick Wayne and Swerve necessarily, but no news on that. But Rosa will probably be doing a lot of different things on Collision. I think they're probably going to try to get some use out of her after 8 or 9 months of her being sidelined.
Right.
Matthew Garrett says, I think it all started with a boy who knew he could do more, and he made a list to get it done. Wild. And Tony says, Tony said something about TNT today last week. Does that mean they're doing something during the NBA playoffs tonight? I would, if I were them, I would certainly highlight the fact that AEW is going to have more of a presence on TNT during NBA games. I certainly would, because you want to capture that audience, and anything that airs there, you can air on your socials as well. Jake says, longtime Fightful fan, with Collision starting up so close to Forbidden Door, how do you think they'll tie the two together, Punk on Forbidden Door or Miro? I think that Punk is going to face Samoa Joe right out of the gate, first or second episode. But also, I say this often, you got to plan for him to have one match, because How is he going to be doing physically after that match? I don't know. I'd be shocked if Miro wasn't on Forbidden Door. I think you need to highlight him in a big way right out of the gate. How are you seeing this, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, this is what's going to be interesting about having two separate rosters and bringing them together for pay-per-view. That's what's going to be interesting, because they just listed, not only was Miro listed as a feature headliner, and it might not mean anything, he was the first name listed as a feature headliner. So I would expect that he's going to be on Forbidden Door and maybe hypothetically on every pay-per-view moving forward. I'm going to be very interested in the guys that have a little bit of baggage, how they're treated on pay-per-views with the other roster. So like, how is Punk going to be treated? How is Andrade going to be treated? What kind of shenanigans are we going to hear about or not hear about after the fact? That's interesting to me. I like to think these guys are all professionals. And so
one of the shenanigans that I mentioned, and I've gotten a little more clarity on this, and I do want to clarify that. I had published in my report that Ace Steel might be headed back. I don't know if he's going to be at TV. And I'd originally said that CM Punk was encouraging it, but I found out since then it might not have been him that brought up the idea. It might have been somebody like it was even floated to me, like maybe even Jericho mentioned it as a disarming thing during their meeting as a way to say, okay, look, everything's going to be fine if we do that. But I mean, there are also a lot of people in AEW that feel like this situation would have long been over had Ace Steel not been involved with it, because of the nature in which it was escalated. But
you know, what's interesting too, is for all the talk that Jericho was angling for a program with Punk, Jericho is not listed as a feature headliner.
Not listed on it. And that was absolutely a creative pitch plan and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Is Punk making TK look like a pushover with Ace? I don't think so, based on stuff I heard this week. Vasco says, who do you have for the first feuds on AEW Collision? Well, Joe and Punk would be a hell of one. Like, I think it'd be great. I always thought that Joe should have just tweeted, don't want to work with this guy. And then like maybe got people's wheels turning like, oh shit. Oh shit. But I know that was a plan as of the last week or so. Miro needs to be up against somebody who's been featured heavily on TV, because I think that that is a good angle to come from. Miro's been chomping at the bit to come back. But meanwhile, Miro's been sitting on the sidelines while these other people have been featured. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to know what the rosters are going to look like.
We'll get more details in the coming weeks. I keep asking, like, but I don't know how many people even know about this. Like, I don't even know how many people in Tony Khan's immediate circle. I just know that there have been people that said you can keep your Wednesdays open, not your Saturdays. That's fine, or vice versa.
Do you think we're going to end up with a Survivor Series style pay-per-view where there's going to be five guys wearing like red and yellow t-shirts and five guys wearing whatever the hell the colors are for Dynamite t-shirts? They're not going to do none of that shit.
They shouldn't do that, but they should do a Collision versus Dynamite show for sure.
So long as they do a true roster split and they don't have guys showing up on the other show holding a visitor badge in their hand, Sean, you know what I mean?
Well, there are special exceptions. I don't know what the term was or anything. We've got a whole bunch of super chats still. I am Crush NC says, can't wait for Collision and my favorites to get more TV time. Also, one of the two jobbers on Raw was DPW World Champion Lucky Ali. You and Denise better put some respect on that name. Love Fightful. Well, maybe you should have used that $10 you just super chatted to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Because I wrote that on FightfulSelect.com that night. Thank you so much for your support. I appreciate you. Ryan Martin says, Sean, Jimmy, are you surprised no announcement came today of the upfronts about a media rights extension during AEW and WBD? No, FightfulSelect.com had actually reported recently that it's just a deal for Collision as of right now. And as far as I know, the other deals are still up soon, with Warner having the right to extend those, I think, for a year or so.
You mean to extend the existing deal?
I think so, yeah.
Really? Really?
Through 2024, yeah. Really? Ian says, Forbidden Door was a huge event when released, but now the talk is all in. It's just over a month away and nobody's talking about it. Thoughts? Well, I think that now is the time they're going to start to sort of form this card. It's a month away. They've got to get through Double or Nothing first. Then they'll work on Forbidden Door. So I'm not surprised by that. Aubrey says, do you think Collision will have their own set of champions? No.
Hope not.
I don't. They should do a draft with the coaches that will be designated to each show picking the wrestlers. Better yet, they should have CM Punk and FTR and Kenny Omega and the Bucks like it's a schoolyard dodgeball game. You. That's what I need. If TK brings back a steal, will the Elite walk?
Nah.
I don't know if they'll walk, but I mean, I'm sure it won't be great. Thank you to Recital Room for this super chat. Jacob Donnelly says, seems if someone like MJF is going to have to pull double duty with Dynamite and Collision, could you see him having two major feuds across shows? Sometimes I think he could. Sometimes. However, I don't think that necessarily all the time. Will be both shows.
I mean, you remember at one point Roman had like three programs going on at once? Remember that?
I can tell you contractually, most of the people on that roster don't have enough dates to literally do every TV and every pay-per-view. So naturally they won't, which they don't do every TV now.
Right.
Arduit says, have we heard anything about AEW content heading to Max? Not an expert, but having that library on streaming seems like a no-brainer. Go Fightful. We didn't, and that was something that I was hoping would be announced. And I hope it's announced tonight. I would love the pay-per-views to be on Max. I would love the library to be on Max. It's just a good idea, Jimmy, as long as it makes financial sense.
Yeah, so at the upfronts, they did mention sports on Max. And
they're
under listed
entertainment and lifestyle, though.
Maybe, but they did say, because I think they said that they were going to even stream some live sports on Max. But they didn't mention AEW at all. When they were talking about their sports properties, they didn't mention AEW. They mentioned it kind of separately. But I imagine there's going to be, it'd be foolish not to. I mean, you have that platform. Why wouldn't you utilize it?
It'd be foolish not to get NordVPN.com/Fightful, Jimmy. You can head over there, get a great deal on NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click. If you want to watch AEW on AEW Plus with Fight without commercials, you can do that with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can watch the WWE Network old interface without having to deal with Peacock. You can detect malware during downloads, block trackers and intrusive ads, and stay safe online with the leading VPN service. Get secure and private access to the internet. Protect all your devices, whether it's any operating system or device. Enjoy a fast and stable connection anywhere. And you don't have to just take our word for it. There are people from CNET, from TED Talks. You even got PewDiePie and Philip DeFranco putting over NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's completely safe to use. It's a VPN, the fastest in the world, that's going to get you a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can try it out. And if you don't like it, you get your money back. They announced a whole mess of big UFC title fights over the last day or two, as reported by FightfulMMA.com and other outlets. But you can get those UFC pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, too. I pay like 1/6 the price of those.
We all need BMF title matches, Sean. That's what we need.
That thing is less valuable than the Fightful Championship.
Depends on who you're asking, Sean Rossap.
Mitchell says, do you think the CM Punk Elite Fan Civil War could cause viewership issues between the two shows? Wrestling fans can be petty. I would hate to see AEW's viewership impacted by its own fan base. You would be surprised at how few people actually give a shit about that, like, and just care about the content in general. The people that you see online, I won't say the people you see online don't represent a broader base, because largely it does reflect how the audience reacts, but it doesn't reflect, to the extreme negative degree of F this person, I hate them, they because they look like this or act like this. That's not really reflected by the audience there. Mike T90K says, Sean, did you get the scoop on how far apart Dynamite and Collision rooms or locker rooms will be at pay-per-views and cross-promotional shows? I don't know if they'll do cross-promotional Dynamites or Collisions yet. I have no idea. As far as the pay-per-views are going, I don't think it'd be that hard for them to set up multiple locker rooms whatsoever.
To be honest with you,
they have their own locker room anyway.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, these are not children. These are grown adults. If I was Tony Khan, I would tell them just be professionals.
Well, CM Punk did say they were children.
All right, but you get my point.
I do get your point. Jimmy Fingers 19 says, do you guys see AEW doing anything more significant with Mark Briscoe than a special guest referee role beyond Double or Nothing? I know he's not cosmetically pleasing, but the man can go. Okay, now I just want to say Mark Briscoe did an interview where he said that WWE turned him down for not being cosmetically pleasing.
Right.
I say Johnny Ace, I think he told him that. Well, Johnny Ace is a moron because how they look is incredibly appealing. You want people that aren't traditionally cosmetically pleasing. I have seen nobody more convincing from a promo, in-ring, and look aspect than the Briscoes in general. And that's because you don't have two guys that are acting exactly like Jay Briscoe or Mark Briscoe. Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe's personalities, promos, and looks are just completely different than one another, besides the gear that they wore. I think that they would have been a fantastic addition to any show, any promotion at any time. WCW in the 90s would have loved the Briscoes. WWE at any stage, and I'm talking 70s, 80s, 90s, 20s, 10s, and beyond, would have benefited from the Briscoes. They would have been great. The Bushwhackers wish they could work like the Briscoes. And you know what? If they wanted the Briscoes to come in and do exactly the same thing the Bushwhackers did, they would have done great at that too. So the not cosmetically pleasing thing, I think, plays incredibly in their favor because you want people to go, well, who's that? And why do they look like that?
You remember how Johnny Ace recruited women for the women's division?
Unfortunately, there are a lot of rumors about how he recruited women.
Well, okay, aside from casting couches, I'm talking about like model magazines. Yeah. He was notorious for using, that's how he found the Bellas. He was notorious for using model magazines. So it doesn't surprise me at all hearing that. And I'm glad the Briscoes weren't around in the 80s because Vince McMahon would have put them in overalls and they'd be coming out to Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy and putting over King Kong Bundy. So I'm glad they didn't come around in the 80s. But I believe everything Mark Briscoe said, given that it's Johnny Ace. Doesn't surprise
me. Oh, no, I believe him. I just think that Johnny Ace is a moron.
Yeah.
I just think he's an idiot. I actually really, really like the special guest referee idea for this match because I had no interest in watching that match. It'd be a good match, of course. But I think that adding Mark Briscoe in as a special guest referee really adds a lot to it. Matthew Garrett says, All Access moved to Max. Are pay-per-views next? How much was the re-up? When will all these details come out? Details will probably be available over the next week, I would say.
Can we talk about the rights fees now? Can we talk about that now?
Let's have at it. Why not?
So we're waiting word on deals from both WWE and AEW. And I should note first, NBC Universal and Fox, they had their upfronts this week. There was zero mention of WWE at the upfronts. I think it's because the new deals aren't done yet. That's probably why they didn't mention it. Now, I want your thoughts on this. Wade Keller from PW Torch reported that the next AEW deal will come in at the range of $240 million a year times 5 years.
That was his assumption. That was not him reporting it.
I understand because they haven't announced anything yet.
I know, but we can't say that he reported it if it was just like, you know, his hunch, I'm not trying to throw heat on him for something he didn't report.
Yep. All right. Well, that's his speculation. $240 million a year times five for $1.2 billion in total value. If that's true, I know that on the surface, people are going to look at that and they're going to say, holy shit, this is a massive increase because they're at about $45 million a year right now. But here's the thing. To me, my opinion, I think that's a steal for Warner Brothers Discovery. If the deal does end up coming in the range of $200 to $240 million a year, given that they're getting Dynamite, they're getting Collision, they're getting Rampage, there's probably going to be streaming rights involved, maybe even pay-per-view, I think that is a steal for Warner Brothers Discovery. It's great for AEW too. Don't get me wrong. That's a multiple over what they're making now, but I think that's a steal for Warner Brothers. If that's what it comes in at, you got to remember right now, SmackDown gets like, I think 205, 210 million a year just for 2 hours on Fox. Right. So the suggestion that they might get around that for the package, and I get it. WWE is more established. They have a larger television audience. I get it. I still think that's a great deal for Warner Brothers. So I'll be interested.
I think that wrestling content in general is usually a great deal for whoever gets it. That's why I'm surprised like nobody's just taking a flyer on Impact. Like, throw them a little bit of money and put them on a platform, see how it works. And it'll probably work better than a lot of the shows on whatever network that you have. But this is going to be a major cash infusion for AEW. We've already reported that on FightfulSelect.com, but like compared to what they've been at, which was, I can't say it was a prove it deal, because the fact that they got a rights fee deal in general,
right,
for a brand new wrestling company is very impressive. But then they got re-upped very, very early on. So this is their time to get paid right now. And I know people look at it and they say, well, why would they want when they're in the 800s? Go look at what everything else is at. Go look at what everything else is at. You think they're going to air Double Dare reruns from 1990s on there? Like, listen, they paid a lot of money for Big Bang Theory, but they're not going to put, that's not going to be the only thing they show on their network. So
the thing too that people have to remember is advertisers have always cared more about the key demo rating than the viewership. Always. That's why, yeah, that's how Nielsen ranks them. When you look at the Nielsen rankings, there's lots of shows that do double the viewers of Dynamite, but they're like ranked 22nd because most of their demo is like 60 plus and advertisers, it's not as appealing to them. So their key demo rating is where, you know, advertisers want it to be. That's why they're top three on Wednesday nights. So there's clearly value there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Just Mass says, any news on the new Vince Endeavor contract news? And KE775 says, as it appears the perspective is that Vince negotiated he must remain a WWE executive chairman until death or resignation. Do you think Endeavor has ways to get rid of him if he starts causing trouble?
Okay, let's talk about this. So first thing I want to do is I want to credit Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics for doing the research, because I don't have the time or the interest to do it. And
he's great.
He did it.
He's great.
Yep. So kudos to Brandon. All right, let's get into this because this is interesting. And I was kind of right in my speculation about the Endeavor deal. So WWE filed a 550-page prospectus with the SEC, and that gave us details on the whole timeline of the Endeavor merger. Now, do you remember, Sean, when this deal was announced, when this Endeavor deal was announced, one of the things that I said on this podcast is, I bet you this is the only deal they had that let Vince maintain control, because everybody was asking, why would they take a deal that's not a cash deal? Why would they take a deal that's all stock? And I suggested it's the only one they had that would let him maintain control. Well, according to that,
out of like maybe 60 inquiries, by the way.
Yeah, but that doesn't really mean a lot. So
sure.
People see the 60 and they're like, whoa, that doesn't really mean a lot. So what you want to look at is how many signed NDAs, how many got into the data room. There's all kinds of stuff that I'm not going to bore people with. But I really think that they took this Endeavor deal because it's the only one that would let Vince maintain control. The SEC prospectus kind of confirmed it. And so I want to break it down for people about how this Endeavor thing came together. So according to that filing, in mid-March, WWE had four interested parties, with Endeavor being one in mid-March. If you go back just a couple weeks before that, the end of February, they had eight interested parties, including Endeavor. And within a span of about 3 weeks, it got whittled down from eight to four. Those other three parties, not including Endeavor, two of them were strategic partners and one was a financial partner. And I'll explain high level what that means. So a strategic partner is a company that would have synergies with the company that they're looking to buy. A financial partner is like a private equity firm. They got their own investors and they would buy the company because they want to grow it over a 3 to 5 year period. And then they want to flip it and make their own money on it. That's the difference between a strategic partner and a financial partner. The main strategic partner, it's believed that was Liberty Media, which is what somebody had mentioned, might've been on CNBC. The reason they believe it was Liberty Media is because WWE gave them tickets to a show in Denver. And Liberty Media is based in Inglewood, Colorado. So the belief is that it might have been Liberty Media. When you look at the offers that were made, the Endeavor deal looks a lot better now than maybe it did then. Because the primary strategic partner, which may or may not have been Liberty, they offered a cash deal between $95 and $100 a share. The financial partner offered a cash deal of between $90 and $97.50 a share. And the third strategic partner offered a cash deal of $76.83 a share. After the Endeavor deal was closed, the stock spiked to as high as $110. And so it looks like the Endeavor deal might have ended up being the better deal. At the time, not so much. At the time, do you remember when the day that the deal was announced and the stock crashed? the day that the deal was announced. It's because it wasn't a cash deal. It was an all stock deal, and it was going to let Vince maintain control. But now in hindsight, it might've been a decent deal, but the Vince piece is what people find interesting. So two aspects of the Endeavor deal. The first one is Endeavor initially came in wanting 57% of the new entity, and they were going to give WWE shareholders 43%, and they came up to 51-49. Here's the piece everybody's talking about. Endeavor proposed that Vince McMahon remain executive chair until death, resignation, or incapacity. Now, I hear that, and I think two things. So the first thing is, I don't know what that means if new allegations surface. Yes. If new allegations surface, I think they're going to force him to resign. But the other thing I don't know about is, what does that mean as far as board elections go? Because I find it hard to believe that you're going to tell your shareholders you can never vote for a new chairman. Shareholders can never vote for a new chairman. I don't know, man. That it's. I feel like there's more yet to come out. But it sure seems on the surface that this is why Vince chose this deal. Because at the time, the stock was nowhere near $90, right? And so those cash deals sounded like they were pretty good deals at the time. He chose the one that was going to let him maintain control. And that's where they're at. And so we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's how it worked.
And FightfulSelect.com. We'll continue patting ourselves on the back. We love to take the temperature of these situations. And immediately following this deal, the talent were like, well, he took the deal that would allow him to stay.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's how they felt at that moment. Like there's,
yep.
That's how they felt. And we're going to have some more similar stories to that.
And here's the thing too. So the one thing that I didn't see in the SEC filing, or at least in Brandon's research, they didn't explain why those other partners fell out. So the one strategic partner, because there was stuff in there about how, so the one strategic partner that might've been Liberty, WWE at one point introduced them to the financial partner because they thought if they work together, maybe they'll up their bid. So they did that. All they said was that the other bids chose not to move forward. Yeah. I didn't hear anything about why. Why didn't they choose to move forward? And so I would love to know, was it because WWE, it's because Vince McMahon said, well, I'm not signing those. I'm signing the one where, I get to maintain control. I don't know. That's the one thing that we haven't figured out. But again, in the long term, it's worked out because the stock hit 110. It wasn't going to be anywhere near that with those deals. So it worked out.
It's so funny because I heard that from talent immediately following the deal, was that they thought that Vince just did what he could to get back into control. I was going to release a talent reacts to the Endeavor deal thing. But that was the week that Vince came in and tore up the whole script and everything. So I've been sitting on that for like a month and a half, getting more reactions in the meantime. But keep an eye on that on FightfulSelect.com. Spencer says, what are each of y'all's top three matches of all time? We don't do top three, top five on here for super chats and stuff like that. But very quickly, I'll say just three that come to mind as three of my favorites are, Omega versus Jericho, Okada, and or Ospreay, Charlotte and Becky Lynch, Last Woman Standing, and Joe, Styles, Daniels, and Unbreakable are three of my favorites.
It's hard for me to think of the other two because there's been so many great matches over the years. My number one favorite to this day is Savage Steamboat WrestleMania 3.
It's a great one.
But not just because of the in-ring. And you know, Sean, I'm an older guy, and I always talk about I'm a big fan of the stories and the moments. And the reason I like that match, aside from the fact that it was a great in-ring match, is because the story going in where Savage hit him with the ring bell, tried to retire him. Steamboat came back and decided, I'm going to get even with you, not by kicking your ass per se. I'm going to get even with you by taking the one thing that means more to you than anything. And that's the Intercontinental title. I love the story of that match. I wish George Steele wasn't in his corner because that sucked. Otherwise, I love the story of the match. And so Savage Steamboat's still my favorite.
Does Vince's new position keep him from 100% taking creative back from Triple H?
So I don't know what there is on paper. I
think so.
Yeah, I don't know what there is on paper. He said in that interview with Ari Emanuel that he was not going to be in the weeds. He said he was going to be high level involved. He didn't say he was going to be in the weeds. But theoretically, if he woke up tomorrow and decided this show sucks and I'm going to head up creative again, I do not think there's any stopping him. So
the review booth saying, Oh, that's because 99% of what Dirt Sheets report is based on speculation and assumptions. That must be why you can count on one hand the number of things that Fightful's gotten wrong. And you know what? You can list one thing that we got wrong and we didn't have an explanation for in 7 years. So the review booth, get the hell out of here. Meet Normus says, "Sup, fellas, my sources have Seth Rollins playing Cobra of the Serpent City and Captain America for anything else going on this week." What do you think of Seth Rollins in the Captain America movie? That's big for him.
Good for him. Good for him. So I'm not a big Marvel guy. I don't know anything about the character. Have you heard anything about how significant is it? Does he have any dialogue?
I have not heard, but I'm monitoring it. I'm doing my best here.
Okay, but good for him. I will say I'm not a Marvel superhero guy. I did go to see Guardians 3 with my wife because she is a Marvel person, and Guardians 3 was pretty damn good, I'll admit. And Batista, I really love Batista.
He's great.
Really like him, yeah.
M.A. Salco says Santana. I actually heard from Santana just a thanks because I had checked on him when he got hurt, but he got off social media immediately. So, I mean, I assume that before long, he'll be back. And we'll have some time left on his deal. Or he says, is Yuka Sakazaki moving to the U.S. full-time sign that they promised people TV time? I would expect her to be featured more, for sure. But, I mean, I think she was just ready to move on as well. But I do think it's a sign that she will be utilized more, but... We've got Colin saying, with this new TV deal, what happens to the likes of Emi Sakura now that Dark Elevation have ended? Well, either they'll be used when they're over here, they'll be used on Rampage a little bit more, or they'll just be featured a little bit better, or they can feature her on Ring of Honor. They still have plenty of options. They are eliminating 2 hours to add 2 hours. So yep. It will not change that much. You'll just see more of this on Rampage and ROH.
And it's not like they haven't done one-offs on Dynamite.
Of course.
So I'm sure they'll do one-offs on Collision as well.
Matthew Garrett says, bring back Rec Spec. Rec Spec is still a thing whenever applicable. Anime Fan says, will these hints lead to Rollins and Reigns at Mania? I don't know. I don't know that they necessarily have a plan in order for WrestleMania next year. And I think that's a good thing to remain fluid in May before you even crown the other champion. But if the audience dictates Rollins versus Reigns next year, that's what you should absolutely do.
I still think they're holding good hope for The Rock. And I'll tell you this, if my wife is any indication, I think that the chances of The Rock doing Mania are better now than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
You know why I think that?
Why?
Because The Rock has kind of sort of unintentionally done a bit of a heel
waning.
Turn.
Waning.
He's done a bit of a heel turn.
Yeah.
And the other day, just so you got to understand, and I'm sure a lot of people listening to this can relate. My wife loved The Rock. She loved everything about him, followed him on social media. The other day we were talking about it and she said, I don't know, I ignore his posts. That's what she said.
I mean, his movies are not must watch to me anymore. Like I'm going to look and see when the last Rock movie I watched was.
What did you think of after The Rock said publicly, I will never be part of the Fast franchise again. He ended up in the end credits of the new one, and there's speculation he's going to do the next one. What do you think of that, Sean?
Never say never, as
never
they say.
Never. There you go.
Okay, I watched Red Notice. I haven't watched Jungle Cruise. I watched Jumanji in 2019.
Jumanji's good. I like Kevin Hart as well. Kevin Hart's awesome.
Yeah, it's been since like Rampage since I watched one of his movies, really, since then. Because I didn't watch Skyscraper. Remember the conversations we had about Skyscraper and how China just willed that into profitability?
Yes.
That was wild.
Kind of like how The Rock willed Black Adam into profitability.
Listen, I wish that China would will Fightful into getting 12,000 subscribers. That'd be nice. We probably need to launch Fightful Select Española already. I think I have the team in place for that. Michael Higgins says,
you've been talking about that for how long?
I know.
How long have you been talking about this?
And it'd be very easy to do, honestly. It's just setting up a Patreon, but we got Carlos Luis. I know that Demon Diva would love to do some stuff with it as well. But yeah,
Denise,
guys,
what about Denise?
Denise isn't heavy into covering things in Espanol, but if she wanted to do something, obviously, but
okay.
Yeah, that's an idea we tossed around. The line of thinking was that we would just start a Patreon that would translate our current stories. And then as things progressed, we would develop relationships with Spanish language speaking companies in Puerto Rico, in Mexico, and we would get news via that way as well. So it wouldn't just be Americanized wrestling in Espanol, but we'd also have a couple podcasts and things like that. But it would be a similar price point as well. But
people in the live chat are really shitting on The Rock in favor of Batista, Sean.
They're shitting on you. Wow. Spoiling the movie, too.
Good job, I haven't Jimmy. Seen the movie. It's just what I heard.
Michael Higgins says, have you heard anything about Collision in other countries like TSN in Canada? We haven't. That's something. That's some news that we'll hopefully get sooner than later.
I'm sure. Do you remember when Dynamite started and they seemingly turned around that TSN deal in days? Like in days, the thing is airing on TSN. I'm sure they'll find a spot for Collision.
Caden believes that Seth's role is similar to GSP in Captain America 2. Yeah, but that'd be a benefit. That would be an absolute benefit for Seth Rollins to be featured in that as well. Ryan says, hey, Sean, on the Raw post show, you said this is Triple H's first Money in the Bank where it's his handpicked winner. Are you sure it's his and not Vince's? And he has to enforce Vince's choice. No, I'm not. I'm not sure. But it is the first one under a Triple H booked show that we know of. Lee Spicer says, I think Rollins would be a great extra as a copycat Joker in any future DC project that James Gunn is directing. I think Seth Rollins would be good in a variety of roles like that. And I'm glad that a lot of the stigma surrounding pro wrestlers and acting has been lifted because, I mean, look around. Dave Bautista, John Cena, The Rock, obviously something worked out well there. Kurgan did fantastic in his acting career. And besides The Rock, Jimmy, none of these people were ones that everybody looked at and said, well, they're going to get into acting and they're going to do great. Like none of them.
You know, what's interesting about Rollins too. You know how they always say that the best wrestlers are the ones whose character is their real life personality with the volume turned up.
Sure.
They say that. When you see Seth Rollins do a real life interview, he's a pretty low key guy.
Yeah.
But when he's on television as Seth freaking Rollins, he's a completely different dude. And the guy that did the Joker, that's not the guy that you see doing an interview with Ariel Helwani, but he does it so well. He does it so well.
In a reaction from Eric to the Collision logo. No, I mean, I think you should take it as a compliment, honestly. The Nitro-inspired Collision logo, Jimmy.
I liked it, too.
FightfulSelect.com reported about it this morning. Let's go ahead and show it to you guys. I'll pull it up here. But it looks really good.
I like it. I think it's good.
I think that I like the red AEW logo as well, but I think it looks great and it's nostalgic in all the right ways. We've already got Melissa creating like graphics for the Collision post show, which will feature Riccuccino, Iridian Fierro, and Cresta the Star. I will join it occasionally as an insider, by the way, guys, but shout out to them. I was able to nail those three down with the line of thinking being, sometimes they're going to have stuff to do on Saturday, so we'll have two others there to handle that, but very excited. Jimmy Finger says, question for both. Do you guys see AEW having any equity bringing Enzo in? Maybe put him back with Big Bill. I could see a nice program with the Acclaimed. Wouldn't mind one interaction between Enzo and MJF. I from what I understand, Big Bill had pushed for it at one point. There was maybe a feeling out process, but ultimately it was, based on what I've heard, that wasn't in their plans. Who knows with an additional show if things like that could change. Outside of this MLW situation most recently, I've heard only good things about him really since about the time of the Joey Janela fight. I've heard that he had been easy to deal with in that regard since then. I hear that he's good to promoters and stuff like that. You know, everybody will rub somebody the wrong way at some point. But
I heard he also made amends with Janela.
He did at the New York Giants draft party. That was a Fightful Select exclusive. They just, from what I understand, Enzo actually said, thank you for making good with Big Bill, Big Cass as well, because Cass had issues with Janela as well.
Okay, good, good.
Jimmy Fingers says, should Roman's Undisputed Championship be consolidated into one title after he loses it? Should it then be known as the WWE title with the Universal name retired? Should that belt then be redesigned? I will say, Jimmy, yes, yes, yes to all that.
Me too.
Once Roman loses that title, there will be no reason to have that Universal title. Nobody will ever surpass what he did there. You've already got a second title, and you absolutely have to keep the lineage of the WWE title, Jimmy. That is crucial.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the Universal name, which was a stupid name to begin with, but the Universal name was Vince McMahon's way of having a belt on the other brand. And so now if you have the World Heavyweight title, there's absolutely no need for it. Make him the WWE champion. I couldn't agree with you more.
KE775 says, do you think if TV deals for Fox or NBCU stall that ESPN could be in play for WWE? I think Andrew Marchand from the New York Post mentioned on his podcast, he heard they may be interested. Yes, I've said this over and over again. I thought Disney would have been a good buyer for WWE. I think ESPN would be a good home for WWE. And I'll point to you, let's look at what's on their TV. ESPN Saturday schedule right
American
now.
Cornhole League.
American Cornhole League and the like. Saturday. Okay, they got the PGA Championship, but they got college. That's in the morning. College softball, a block for 6 hours.
Of really?
Of women's college softball. No disrespect to them.
Is that ESPN 1?
Yep. Wow. You've got 2 hours of Seven Innings Live, which is a college softball highlight show. And again, you've got PGA replays in the morning and things like that. You can put Raw or SmackDown on in its normal slot, and then you can say, you know what? I'd like to do a replay of that at like 2 p.m. as well. Like, why the hell not?
I guess my only concern would be if there's a lot of preemptions for sport.
That's also
could you
true.
Could you hurt the audience? But well, when you look at
yeah, when you look at it, they've got 15 channels too.
That's true too. But when you look at the Endeavor relationship, it wouldn't surprise me because Endeavor's got a relationship with ESPN. That wouldn't surprise me. I think NBC Universal maintains Raw. I think they need it really badly. I think if you take that off of their plate, their overall rating plummets, their average rating. Fox and SmackDown is the one that would not shock me if they move on. But I think NBC Universal needs Raw, so I'd be shocked if that moved.
Bryce says, would it be best if Dynamite was on Tuesday and Collision was on Thursday with the complete eradication of Rampage? Will Monet debut on Collision? I'm sure they would love for her to debut on Collision, but they are not moving Dynamite to Tuesday. AEW hasn't seemed to want on Thursdays. Tony Khan has mentioned the importance of not competing with the NFL if possible.
Right.
And I hope that continues. I really hope that continues because it is tragic for WWE when they do it. Thursday night football is a thing, and it's something that the NFL wants to catch fire very, very badly. So I don't see that as possible. I think for viewership, it would probably be better. Or they could just do Wednesday, Thursday. I don't think there's a need for them to move it off of Wednesday. Just Mask says, who's winning the new world title? Who are you thinking, Jimmy?
Rollins, no question. No question.
That's how I'm feeling too.
No doubt. From the start. Basically, from the start, from the first time that Rollins was in the ring on Raw, and he's going into the pay-per-view with Omos, but he didn't talk shit about Omos. All he talked about was the World Heavyweight title. It was pretty much set. Rollins is going to win.
Guys, get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. Make sure you leave a thumbs up. We are heading down the home stretch. Jimmy, you got anything else?
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk some XFL business, Sean.
Okay.
Because this is something different. It's not wrestling related, but it kind of is. Vince McMahon founded it. Now the Rocks Group owns it. I want to talk some XFL business.
Next year, you'll own it. Like,
yeah, you know, yeah, maybe.
The year after that, Dale Gagne will own it.
Like, Dale Gagne.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He spelled his name like Gagne, but he's not a Gagne. It's Gagne there.
Gagne. I thought he put an R at the end of it sometimes, didn't he?
That's his real spelling. He would take the R off to pretend that he was related to Vern Gagne, which he wasn't. So, all right, XFL business. First thing I want to do is I want to paint a picture for anybody, maybe if you're not American. So there's two spring football leagues in America right now. There's the XFL and there's the USFL. The XFL is owned by the group that includes The Rock, and they air on ESPN and ABC-owned stations. The USFL is owned by Fox, and they air on Fox as well as on NBC. The XFL just wrapped up the season. The USFL is still ongoing. Bill Shea from The Athletic, he wrote an article about the business of the two, Which one do you think is doing better, Sean Ross Sapp?
The XFL.
No. The XFL is lagging behind the USFL in terms of ad revenue, which is right now their only real revenue stream is ad revenue.
Okay, yeah.
So in the regular season, the XFL generated $20.6 million in ad revenue for ESPN and ABC. The USFL is projected to do double that, $41.3 million in ad revenue for the season. In the playoffs, because the XFL has done their season, in the playoffs, the XFL did an estimated $1.3 million in ad revenue. They only had three playoff games, two semis in the championship. The USFL, because they haven't done their playoffs yet, we can't project. But last season, they did $6.7 million in ad revenue in the playoffs, which would be five times what the XFL did in the playoffs this year. It is not known yet if the landscape can accommodate two spring football leagues long term. Yeah. ESPN has not pulled the plug on the XFL, right? ESPN has not pulled the plug on the XFL. But if an alternative programming comes along that's cheaper to produce, then you could see the XFL falling by the wayside. And until then, they're both around, but they are falling behind the USFL.
Yeah, I think one will prevail for sure. I think one will certainly prevail. I enjoyed arena football. I watched an arena football game here in Lexington, and it was wonderful. Like, it was such a blast.
I think maybe The Rock's going to get a phone call saying, look, bud, you want to put the pads on next week? Because, you know.
We'll Notorious Greg says, do you think that Saturday pay-per-view Collision may be an hour and the pre-show for a pay-per-view? I hope.
Yeah,
I hope that's the method. I loved when WCW would do main event on Sundays and it'd be an hour before, Heat right before. Hell yeah. Of course, we get a bunch of super chats right before we wrap up. Caden says, worried about Jack Perry's reaction tonight. Roosh typically gets cheered in Texas. Could this hurt his momentum going into Double or Nothing next week? I don't think long-term, but I I would love if that reaction does happen like that, Caden, and we start to see a bit of an edge from Jack Perry.
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of this feud has been predicated on, Jimmy, was the fact that Jack Perry is a white meat baby face, and MJF keeps saying, you need an edge, you need an edge. And maybe this is where he gets it.
I agree. We need to see more from him. I hated the interview he did where he basically shut down doing promos. And he said that, you know, he got into wrestling because he wanted to be an in-ring guy. I understand that promos are not for everybody, and sometimes people aren't comfortable doing it. But this day and age, everybody can go in the ring. Everybody can go in the ring. MJF showed with Bryan Danielson, he can fucking go in the ring. So what separates you from the other 30, 40 guys on the roster is your ability to have a promo and your ability to have a character. And if Jack Perry wants to get left behind, then cool, keep doing what you're doing. Otherwise, he's got to step it up. And this is a golden opportunity for him. I agree that he might get a heel reaction in Texas. Roll with it, man. Roll with it. Look at The Rock at WrestleMania. And I know that Perry's not The Rock. Well, look at The Rock at WrestleMania with Hogan, right? He went out there and the Toronto crowd shit all over him, and The Rock rolled with it, man. He did the heel mannerisms and everything. Not saying Jack Perry is The Rock, but if you get a heel reaction, roll with it. Roll with it. Just kind of go with it.
Marquise Film says, did you get my super chat? Probably not. Just let me know what it says below. A tip for people in the future. Instead of asking me if I got your super chat, just tell me what it was, because I mod these myself. So Marquise, we'll hang around here a couple more minutes. Just let me know what it was. JM says XFL is better as an NFL feeder league, though. Yeah, objectively, the XFL is very successful. Like, we're talking dozens and dozens of people are getting invited to camp from XFL. It is a success in that regard.
That was their objective, I think, because I know Rock talked to CFL, or maybe not The Rock, but I know that they talked to the CFL as well. That's their objective.
We have Wombat in Combat saying, what direction are they taking Rampage once Collision begins? From my understanding, it was always just seen as Heat, but it sends a mixed signal when you have CM Punk debut. Marquise, I found yours. Says, do you guys think WWE is too fancy? Think the wrestling is overshadowed by the LEDs and large TV screen. Raw, SmackDown are in need of a hardcore revamp in the set design. I agree, but their line of thinking is that they want to be able to do anything with that set. Marquise, I'll point you to an interview I did with Eric Bischoff before he got rehired with WWE, and it's something that really stuck with me. He said that he thought that WWE's production was so slick that it eliminated the illusion of spontaneity. You didn't feel like anything was spontaneous because everything is so overproduced and slick. And I thought that was one of the smartest things that anybody ever said to me in an interview, and I was like, there you go. A guy who introduced spontaneity back into the program with Nitro. I thought that was a brilliant thing that he said.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a reason why this man's been using the term sports entertainment for over 30 years.
Sure.
He doesn't want it to be pro wrestling, and so this is just how it's going to be, and I'll be very curious when the day comes that Vince isn't involved anymore if Hunter will make changes to things like that. But for the time being, it is what it is. Tony Khan has always said, you know, this is a wrestling company. Vince McMahon has never wanted to be a wrestling company. And I can't recall if it was Nick Khan or Frank Riddick. One of them on one of the quarterly calls said we're a media company. Do you remember that? That was like a year ago. That's how WWE wants to be. They don't want to be a wrestling company. So it is what it is.
Reminder, guys, as soon as we get through these last super chats, we're over on FightfulSelect.com for the list goes on. It's not just exclusive news. We got 8 or 9 podcasts a week as well. Retro reviews coming back there as well. Tom Talks Rubbish says, thank you for being nice people. Nothing but love. We've both done Tom's show. So make sure check that out.
I'll tell you something quick. So Tom sent me the interview. It's not up yet, but he sent it to me. Man, I put you over a lot, Sean. I put you over a lot.
You're going to have to listen to it.
I almost want to hit up Tom and say, can you do me a favor? Can you edit out some of those answers? Because holy shit, did I put Sean Ross Sapp over?
I didn't expense my new computer. I took a less of a cut on super chats to help make up some of this travel costs I'm incurring. But, you know, Van Twinblade says, I don't know who this Ladybird person is, but she's going to beat up your BFF on the 21st. Send her flowers after she loses. I assume you mean Shaza. And I don't know who Lady Bird is either, but I am a huge fan of her now. Mike says, my source told me the plan of today is for Punk to return at Double or Nothing, cut a promo, set up his match with Joe at Collision. I think that would be fantastic. I think that'd be great. I can't confirm that, though. Paul says, after his heartfelt promo last week, then losing, where do you think Edge's story is going or ending now? I think it was a very smart promo from Edge. It was to put into your mind, he's wrapping it up soon. He's going to go away very, very soon. So I think that he is going to go into a program on SmackDown. I would love to see him in Theory. I think that would be really cool.
I forget what brand he's on. SmackDown now, full time?
I think SmackDown, yeah.
Okay.
Tom Talks Rubbish says, sorry, Jimmy, Sean is so nice. No can do. Don't tell people that. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We are back talking more AEW news tonight. Again, we have announced our AEW Collision post show. I will be doing something this summer in which I will be covering Collision on Select as well. Like, I might add that to the Backstage Report podcast where I give quick thoughts on Collision and SmackDown, because I've heard some of you say that you want me back on those shows. The schedule, unfortunately, this summer has me traveling a lot of Fridays and Saturdays. So I'm going to find a way to add that coverage to Fightful Select too. So you'll get that for your $5 as well. We're working on a sort of behind the stories podcast. I saw a lot of you when I recommended or asked for recommendations of what you saw in Select. You said, we liked the show with Denise where you talked about what happened with GCW. I'll do a lot of those. I've already got plans to do them about the ill-fated Sean Ross Sapp served tall. We did one about the CM Punk story. I'll do one about the Muhammad Hassan interview that I did, 7-8 years ago now. There's going to be a lot of stuff like that coming to Fightful Select for just $5. I got to justify Jimmy putting me over, you know.
You know what would make a lot of money on Select, Sean? What would make a lot of money is if you and I did a Q&A where I finally revealed the other people that I talked to before I hired you. Imagine the money that would do, but I'm not doing it.
Maybe I'll do that on FightfulSelect.com right after this. Ryan wraps us up. This is if Collision is on Saturdays, 8 to 10. How will that affect them when WWE has a pay-per-views? It will affect them negatively. That's how. It will affect them negatively unless there is some phenomenon where people just have their TV on both things at the same time.
Possible.
Guys, until next time, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.